Man, I don't know what to say. What an amazing morning. You know, this whole series is on clarifying the gospel, and what Sheila mentioned this morning is literally right in the wheelhouse of what we're going to be talking about over the next 2 or 3 months. So the timing is really good. I know that you're having a conversation today, I think you said. I would be happy to talk with you after church or something if you want, if I can help you at all. But I think it's amazing. That's what this is about. And also, I can't see Terry because Dan's there. But Terry, I just want to let you know I've been praying for you, and this class has been praying for you, and you are welcome here. I just want you to know that, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It is really, really good to see you guys here. Is everybody awake? No? Okay. Well, Tani brought some food. Thank you, Tani. So there's really good food over there if you guys want to grab some food. And there's coffee. Grab some coffee if you want. It's already actually poured. It's really easy. This morning, I'm sound asleep, thankfully, because I haven't been sleeping well lately. And I got a new phone last week. And so at 4 in the morning, because I had set an alarm, and I screwed up. And instead of doing it for PM, I set it for AM. So at 4 in the morning, man, it's like, in this alarm, it sounds like steel pipes clanging together. And it's like I'm laying it all, it's like, da 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 da. All this stuff starts rattling off, and I'm like, whoa. But I did get like 6 hours of sleep, so that's a good thing. So welcome to the new series. This is going to go like 2 or 3 months. It's called Clarifying the Gospel. I'll describe more in a little bit about how this came about and what we're going to get into. But I've broken this down in 5 sections. You look at your handout, at the very bottom of the handout, sort of like in a little footer gray area, are these 5 sections. This is what we're going to be covering over the next 2 or 3 months. First one is why the need for this series. So today is actually just an introduction, so I'm not even going to get into this today, but why the need for this series. So we're going to spend probably a good couple, 3 weeks on that because it's important that we understand the backdrop as far as what's going on and what brought the series about and why we need it. Then we're going to talk about the goals. That's actually going to be pretty quick. That's probably going to last like a half a morning. That's not going to take that long. This here, the next two, what is the biblical gospel and what is biblical faith and belief? And the reason I say that is because you see those words in scripture all over the place. And it can lead, without, you know, proper scripture understanding, it can lead to a lot of confusion, a lot of watered down understanding and things like that. So we're going to spend quite a bit of time here on what is the biblical gospel and what is biblical belief in faith. So that's probably going to last, you know, a few weeks. And then lastly, we're going to do considerations when sharing the gospel. And exactly what Sheila was talking about. And so many of us, you know, in this class and in this church, rightly so, we're taught to share the gospel. And I think there's still a lot of confusion and a lot of gray mass as far as how do you do that? And where do you do that? And so we're gonna get into this for probably a good 2 or 3 weeks. We'll do a little bit of probably even some like, you know, workshop kind of stuff as we talk about this amongst ourselves, which hopefully will give us ideas on where and how to share in different areas. The one thing I won't do during this time, so you guys can relax now if you hate this like I hate it, is we won't be doing any role playing, okay? I can't stand role playing. Role playing is just really, really awkward, and it's very unnatural. So we won't do that. So as we refer to the gospel, by the way, in this series, what I'm talking about really is the gospel in the sense of evangelism, okay, or soteriology, as far as, you know, what is salvation and things like that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the gospel in the sense of sanctification and the gospel applied to our life through all of life. That's important, but that's a different topic. So what we're really talking about here is just the gospel as far as evangelization and salvation, soteriology. So what else? And yeah, by the way, when I start like this week and next week and all that, and I get into like the need, be patient because you might be thinking like, when the heck is this guy going to get onto the point of, you know, what is the gospel? Just be patient because there's a lot of reasons we need to like camp a little bit before we get there and start explaining that. So lastly, even though this is just an introduction, listen clearly to what we're talking about today, because at the end of today's lesson, I'm going to go ahead and just ask everybody if they have any thoughts or requests on, you know, things that would be helpful to you as it pertains to the gospel, as it pertains to clarifying what the gospel is, and then also how do you share the gospel. So pay attention. At the end of the class, I'll go ahead and ask that, and you'll have a chance to chime in. The other thing, too, you know, whenever I teach, I really want to encourage interaction. So if you guys have something during the lesson that spurs your interest, or you got a question, or, you know, whatever, you know, feel free to go ahead and raise your hand, and, you know, we'll get you in that. Because the thing I prefer to do is have that sort of like Dan did during prayer. It's like I prefer to have that during the lesson rather than just holding everything to the end. So how did all this start? This is very akin to what Sheila just talked about this morning. A couple years ago, my brother Steve, I have, just so everybody knows, I come from a family of a bunch of half-brothers and sisters. My mom was married 3 times. My sister Patty here, who goes to Cornerstone, she's the only full sibling that I have. But my brother Steve, who's one of my half-brothers, he lived down in Florida, and a couple, 3 years ago now, I went down there because he was dying of liver cancer. Okay, so I went down there to obviously see him, you know, for the last time. And, you know, our family, you know, we were raised to be what I call nominally but dogmatically Catholic. So what does that mean? What that means is that you really don't practice Catholicism much. You don't go to church much, you know, none of that stuff. But you're dogmatic. Okay, like you're Catholic, and that's the bottom line. And my mom was very, very, I would say she wore the pants in the family. I mean, my dad was a physical bulldog, so, like, you know, look out for him too. But, you know, but she ran the show. My mom ran the show. So if anybody asked, like, you know, what are you? It's like, you're Catholic. And that was that. And it was very, very firm and stern and all that. But so my brother, he was Catholic, my brother Steve. And he, you know, when I shared the gospel with him, you know, Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Okay, and Steve was within days of dying and within days of being judged eternally. So this is what I, you know, basically walked into, you know, trying to talk with Steve. I had shared the gospel with him a few times in the past, but this time was no different. I mean, it was basically the typical response of, you know, just, you know, it was being dismissive, it was being ignorant. And when I say ignorant, by the way, I don't mean stupid or moronic, nothing like that. By ignorant, what I mean is that he just didn't know what he was talking about, okay, when it comes to salvation. But he was ignorant, response, you know, he was dismissive, he was overconfident. He told me point blank, he's like, I know where I'm going. You know, I'm not worried about it at all, I'm fine. You know, if when I die, I'm going straight to heaven, and I know that's the bottom line, and that's where I'm going. And so for me, you know, I basically had this angst in me. It's like, how do you tell a person that's that, you know, pushing back on you to say, you know, don't tell me anything, I know exactly where I'm going, when you know that literally in days they're going to face the wrath of God? How do you talk to them, you know? So this is a big deal to me. I've got a few verses of scripture, too, that I've sort of put in here, and I don't mean for it to be so robotic, but these are verses that pertain to different things I'm saying here. So I've called on a few guys to read some verses here. Dave, who has Hebrews 2? Is that you, Dave? Or?
Yes.
Okay, read Hebrews 2.
Hebrews 2:14-15.
Nice and loud. And this is the King James, by the way.
As the children partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
So those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Some people, though, really aren't in fear of death. My brother Steve was one of them. Very complacent, you know, very, you know, whatever. And again, I think we as gospel people need to equip ourselves so that when we're in a situation like this, we know how to, as well as we can. We're not the Holy Spirit, but, you know, we've been called to take the gospel to people. So as well as we can, go ahead and share the gospel with people that are even in that condition where they're complacent, they don't care, they say they know where they're going, and so forth. And by the way, if you're sitting there right now, this isn't part of my notes, but if you're sitting there right now thinking, well, Mike, where do you, you know, get off? It's like, you know, who are you to say who's saved and who's not? We're going to talk about that. The Bible talks about that. you can actually get biblical wisdom and understanding and discernment so you can have an inkling as to whether somebody understands the gospel or not. So we don't always need to write things off to saying, well, we don't know, it's up to God, you know, and it's up to them. We need to do better than that. So that's partly what we're going to get at here. So I had this immense frustration and conviction on, you know, how do I clarify the gospel with somebody who pushes back, you know, by saying this stuff, and who, biblically speaking, and this is on your handout. Let me see here. The marks of true believers, okay? They demonstrate, first of all, and you can jot this down, there's three words. They demonstrate no knowledge. They demonstrate no obedience. And they demonstrate no fruit. So, chronologically speaking, that's chronological. If you come to Christ, it's because you have a knowledge of the gospel. You have a knowledge of God's holiness. You have a knowledge of your sin, etc. If you do come to Christ, you've got to be obedient. There's no such thing as a totally disobedient Christian. That's a fallacy, okay? And if you're obedient, you're going to have fruit, okay? So I'm just frustrated here sitting in this room thinking, you know, how do I communicate this when he has no knowledge of the gospel? He has no obedience. He has no fruit. You know, what do I do? So anyway, and read, Matt, do you have 2 Corinthians 4? Go ahead and read that nice and loud so they can hear you in the back.
2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. But if our God be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of this glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them.
Right. So the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine to them. That's the pickle you're in, you know, when you're sharing with people. So in the situation of Steve, it's like, you know, I had this desperation to urgently basically find anything I could find and do just as a reminder, a tweak, an idea, whatever, on how to, you know, share this with him. For me personally, I will say this. I think I'm improving. I think I'm getting better at, you know, being on the spot with people like Sheila's going to be, and knowing where to navigate and how to share in a way that's meaningful. But when I was in Florida with Steve, I was just frustrated. I'm like, you know, what do I do? And, you know, I was sort of desperate, you know, looking for ideas. And the thing, too, and this goes back to what Matt just read, too, is here's the thing we need to realize. When people's hearts stop beating, it's over. It's all done, okay? It's over. Listen closely to this. It's 2 Thessalonians 1, 5 to 10, and Barry's going to read this. Just listen close to this. He's got NIV, by the way.
The New International. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. You will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble and give relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. They will be shut out of the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of the power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you.
Thanks, Barry. One of the reasons I'm sharing these particular scriptures is because, again, if you just take the scripture at face value, as we should in some cases, I'm not talking a hermeneutic here, I'm just saying take scripture at face value, what you might have heard in these verses that we just read is a whole different sobriety and a whole different gravity to the issue than we typically walk around with. You know, we typically walk around, yeah, you know, sort of, yeah, you know, I'm going to share. I might share the gospel. You know, we'll see. Hey, I don't think they're saved. I don't know what. And yet, like Barry just read and Matt read and Dave read, it's like when it's over, it's over. And this is the most serious thing anybody could deal with. It's the whole difference between a prosperity gospel and a real gospel. Prosperity gospel focuses on today, focuses on you. It's all about you. It's all about today. No, it's not. It's all about eternity. Today is a precursor. Today is a, some people call it a test. Today is a learning field for eternity. Tracy, did you have something?
Yeah, I think that's unfortunately the stance that we as Christians tend to take. We just think about today. We're not imminently faced with someone dying perhaps every single day, and so we don't have the practice, first of all. And then second of all, we're just thinking, okay, I'm going to get through today, and you know, maybe tomorrow will come, and I'll wait for the next opportunity. And that's mm-hmm. not a slam on anybody. I'm in that same camp. Yep. We're all in that camp. Yep. But it's a. I think you coined the phrase right. It's desperation. You've got to reach them. You mm-hmm. love them so much. You've got to share the truth with them. And that's the thing that compelled the writer that in Thessalonians. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, mm-hmm. you've got to know this.
Yeah. By the way, touching on what Tracy just said, you know, back when I was teaching Romans 8, 9, and 10, you know, we talked a lot about election versus free will and that whole doctrine. And what we have a tendency to do in the typical Reformed camp, which really focuses on the sovereignty of God, is we typically have an attitude of, well, we'll just go ahead and sit in the back seat. Let God do it all. Because God does it all. The problem with that thinking is that you are part of what God's doing. Okay, so let's not confuse ourselves with Arminianists just because we have the passion and the urgency that Tracy talks about. That's the point. So when a person dies, there's no more scoffing. There's no more debating. There's no more putting things off and waiting. And by the way, there's no more putting things off, not just by them, but by us. So when somebody dies, we lose our opportunity to share the gospel with that person because we waited and we waited and we waited and we tried to become friends and blah, 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 blah. And we never shared the gospel and they're dead. So there's an urgency to this whole thing because when a person's heart stops beating, it's for all the marbles, okay? It's done. It's over. There's no second chances. There's no redos. God's judgment, and we've heard about this in these scriptures that we read, is now in full force. So we need to take this stuff seriously. Look in the Old Testament. Open your Bible if you can. Look at Nahum chapter 1. Nahum is one of the Old Testament minor prophets toward the end of the Old Testament, if you need to find it.
Mike, one of the things I just wanted to share and get in my mind for the last couple of years was, you know, God's judgment and all that, that's going to come upon that person, but the end result is it's eternal separation from God.
Sure.
That is the end result. And for those of us who are believers, we have an eternal connection to God in eternity. So think about that as we're wondering whether we should share or not, and that's something we all need to lay upon our hearts.
Yep. Exactly. Thanks, Brad. So Nahum chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. And I don't remember if this is out of my Bible, which is NASB, or the ESV, because I just printed it out here. But here's how this goes. It's in reference to Nineveh, by the way. And what it says, you know, obviously about Nineveh isn't applicable to us, but what it does say that refers to the Lord's moral attributes and his character is applicable to us because God doesn't change. So, you know, listen to this. He says, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. And by the way, that doesn't mean jealous like you're jealous of somebody else who got something you didn't get, but we won't get into that. It's actually more serious than that. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him. The world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. So this is what we're dealing with. When we talk about life, we talk about death, we talk about the gospel, talk about heaven, talk about hell. You know, this is what we're dealing with. This is the gravity of it. And everybody's like, oh, this is a downer. It's like I came in here to church today. I just, you know, wanted to enjoy myself. You know? It's like, well, you can enjoy yourself. Just preach the gospel. But anyway, did somebody have their hand up over here? Trees.
No, you started out, the Lord is jealous, and there's a struggle for us in our concept of what jealousy is. Doing the study that I just completed before the holidays, sort of the neighborhood study, that was actually one of the things we touched on in the attributes of God about jealousy. Mm-hmm. And we struggle with that because we have our own conception of what jealousy means.
Right.
But if you look at jealousy in the purest context, you know, husband and wife relationship. The husband is jealous of his wife's purity, and the wife is jealous of her husband's purity, not because they have ill motives or selfish motives, it's because they want the best for each other and for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really helpful for me to think about the jealousy that God has. God has this jealousy for us that's based on our best and our purity,
mm-hmm.
that wants us to be pure and our best with him because he's our husband.
Right.
And so we need to not look at it from the standpoint of what, you know, a lot of times it's jealousy. It's like, oh, well, I want it.
Right.
It's not God's perspective.
Right.
We are limiting our view of God when we think of it that way.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Thanks, Trees. So back to the story of the Brother Steele, like what's going on. So that night, you know, I've listened to, has anybody here heard of the Way of the Master Ministry with Ray Comfort and so forth? I went back to my hotel room that night, and I'm just sort of like in desperation, like Sheila is. And I'm thinking like, you know, what can I do to share the gospel with him? So I'm just thinking of ideas and thoughts and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so what I ended up doing was, I've sort of been a fan of Way of the Master Ministry over the years. I've watched some of their videos and things like that. And so that night, I happened to do a search, and I looked it up, and I came across their video called Hell's Best Kept Secret. It's probably the most popular one that they've done. But, you know, that video actually, and this whole series, by the way, I was going to like sort of parse that video throughout this series and have that sort of be like a complimentary thing. I don't know if I'm going to do that, frankly, because as I've prepared for this series, that video is very much about one thing. And really what it's about is more like an easy believism and how, like, you know, we just make the gospel like, you know, hey, if you believe in God, you're saved. It's like, you know, and how that's just all wrong. And that's largely what that video is about. But what it did is it just gave me, again, just another, you know, gut check for, you know, what I needed to share with Steve. Okay, so what happened was, you know, I prayed a whole lot that night. I prayed a whole lot the next morning in the hotel room before my other brother, Paul, which you haven't heard of yet, picked me up. Paul is the full brother of Steve, okay? So they're both 50% Sioux Indians because my mom's second husband was a 100% Sioux Indian. So they're both brothers. They both live in Florida. And Paul was the one picking me up at the hotel to go back to the center that Steve was in. And so, you know, the next morning I'm driving there. And you know, obviously my conviction's about Steve. You know, he's the one that's dying. But I'm driving there and I'm thinking, I've just got to stop putting off sharing the truth of the gravity of everything we've just been talking about with Paul. So thankfully, we had about a 30 or 40 minute drive from the hotel to where Steve was. And man, I tell you, I finally stopped. I stopped giving in to all of the feelings of You know, can anybody here relate to this where you sort of feel, you just feel weird, like you feel like they don't want to talk about this. Like it's, you're like, you got an eyeball on your forehead. It's like, you know, it's a square peg in a round hole. It's like, nobody wants to talk about this. Has anybody felt that way? Like, have you had situations specifically where maybe you know something's coming up, you're in a situation, and so what you do sometimes is you sort of like debate with yourself. Oh, well, no, no, yeah, no. Oh, don't have time, so we're done now. So we're done. So were you going to raise your hand?
Well, it's just family especially. We do that because we know we're going to see them over and over. But, you know, Ray Comfort has, I think, a video on specifically that, just ideas on Ray Comfort's not so much about a method, because some methods we have to throw out, but it's just understanding the gospel. But he has one of how you approach your family, and you come as more of a, you know, this is how the Lord kind of convicted me. You know, that it's a good approach with family, because you're right, you know, it's more awkward with family, I think.
Right. Yep, exactly. So anyway, that's what was going on with me. I was just battling internally. It's like, you know, do you do it or don't you do it? Do you do it or don't you do it? And so I just finally opened up, man, with Paul on the way there. And I'm sure he was like, whoa, like, what is this all about? You know, and I was very, very clear. Now you need to understand, I wasn't rude. I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't a weirdo. I wasn't, you know, I don't know, just being obnoxious. You know, none of that. But what I was doing was I was being passionate, and I was being honest, and I was being clear, and I was helping him understand, this is the situation, man. It's like, just because you say you believe in God, who cares? Everybody believes in God. That's not the point. You know, so I shared with him at length and with this kind of passion on old car riding. He's, you know, driving. But it was good. I mean, here's the thing. You know that you have a command from God to share the gospel. You know that. And if you don't, you're not being obedient. So, even though it can be very uncomfortable in certain times, I at least knew when I was done with that, I did what I was supposed to do. I spoke the truth in love, even though it was passionate, and I did what I was supposed to do. Okay? So, here's the thing. Just a comment on this, sort of like Tony was talking about. There's a book, me and some guys here are going through, Spiritual Discipline for the Christian Life by Don Whitney. So this book talks about prayers, talks about worship, talks about evangelism, etc. And he had a really good comment in here about why we don't share the gospel, okay? This is what Don Whitney says. He says, I've never heard it expressed, but I think the seriousness of evangelism is the main reason it frightens us. We realize that in talking with someone about Christ, heaven and hell are at stake. The eternal destiny of the person looms before us, and even when we rightly believe that the results of this encounter rest in God's hands and that we bear no accountability for the person's response to the gospel, we still sense a solemn duty to communicate the message faithfully, as well as holy dread of saying or doing anything that might rise as a stumbling block to the person's salvation. Many Christians feel too unprepared for such a challenge or simply have too little faith and falter at entering into such an eternally important conversation. And then Don Whitney here, right underneath this, he references a researcher, and this is what the researcher says. He says, one dominant reason underlying the increasing reluctance of Christians to share their faith with non-Christians pertains to the faith-sharing experience itself. In asking Christians about their witnessing activities, we have found that 9 out of 10 individuals who attempt to explain their beliefs and theology to other people come away from those experiences feeling as if they have failed. The reality of human behavior is that most people avoid those activities in which they perceive themselves to be failures. So that's one of the real big reasons why we don't do it. Good.
Well, then some too, you get in those situations where they start asking questions and we don't have all the answers. Yeah. That's a challenge too, right? Like not knowing the answer or not knowing the right thing to say, so therefore feeling like a failure. But,
right.
You know, then people are like, well, what do you know? You know, it's, I mean, so that's hard too, not knowing necessarily what to be prepared for.
See?
And not to throw stones or anything, but for a while, but for a while, I also think that the church as a whole, and it wasn't just the prosperity gospel, they got into this mindset that you needed to make relationships with people in order to be able to share the gospel. And the one thing that we have to understand is we all have a relationship with God. We were his image. That's a relationship status. Okay? And so we need to get away from the fact that I got to take him out to coffee a couple of times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because I always go back to the thief on the cross. Mm-hmm. Thief on the cross, all he did, he believed, and Christ said, you will see me in paradise.
Right.
Not talking against water baptism, he wasn't duck.
Right.
Nothing else went on.
Mm-hmm.
He just believed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's important. And just to talk about an experience I had in my precept class, we were going over, they had a homework assignment, and it was, one of the questions was, name at least two essentials of the gospel. And some people, and during our discussion, some people actually said, oh, having a relationship with Christ, or praying to God. Well, from that point forward, I've been browbeating them into gospel are.
Yeah.
And to the point where they will get pop quizzes.
Okay. For anybody who doesn't know, Zeola teaches on Wednesday night, the precept class. So.
Because it's where the church tripped.
Right.
They tripped.
Yeah.
And caused that mindset.
Yeah. Maybe I should play a clip, not today, but from that video, because he talks a lot about that. You know, let me invite you over for like a lamb barbecue and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, Jesus didn't say that. Like, he just told people what the truth was, which is what Zeola is saying. But here's the thing, based on what I just read, based on what Zeola said, here, you have a little line here. It says principle on your handout. I don't know if you probably can't fit all this on there, but here's the thing. When you are convicted to share the gospel with someone, do it. Okay? Even if you're afraid that you won't do it just right. Okay? I would hope that most of us in this room know enough about the gospel that if we had to speak it to somebody, we could. Okay? Now, you might say, well, no, wait a minute. If you're not equipped and you're not ready and you can't do it just right, you could really screw stuff up. Okay, so that's wrong. You shouldn't be saying that. Like, you got to get your ducks in a row before you do this. There's an argument for that, but I would disagree. And I would say, you know what, if you don't know enough about the gospel to even, like, just share it when you're convicted, okay, you need to do some serious studying, okay, some serious praying and equip yourself to do that. Everybody in this room should have enough gospel knowledge, especially being in this church, to be able to just share the gospel with somebody, the basic components like Zeola's talking about what the gospel are. And by the way, we're going to get into that, okay? So if you're a little foggy and you're like, well, I sort of do, I sort of don't, you know, we're going to get into that, okay? But when I say do it, okay, what are the benefits, even if you don't do it just right, what are some of the benefits you can think about in sharing the gospel, even if it's not just right? What do you got?
They've heard it for the first time, maybe.
They've heard it.
Because we may be the only Jesus that they see, so that connection that God's placed you in, and you get that prompting to do it.
Right.
That may be the beginning of their road to salvation.
Exactly. Somebody planted, somebody watered, and God brought forth the increase, Tracy.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, and that his word does not return void. So it's just an element of hearing it. Maybe you don't understand it right away, but it's an element of hearing it and letting those words, which are more powerful, it says in the scripture, than anything, penetrate their heart, you know, and kind of help them cultivate hopefully, faith.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it can be the starting point. What?
I think back to the first people that shared the gospel with me, you know, it was more of that God has a wonderful plan for your life, but it made me think.
Right.
So even, you know, it's not about us getting it perfect.
Yep.
God will use all the right bits that we said.
Yep. Exactly. And what Tony just said is the same thing that happened to me. There were guys sharing the gospel with me, and I pushed back, but it planted a seed and started conviction in me that's like, maybe these guys are right. It's like, I can't work my way to heaven as a good Catholic. And it did. And after a few months, I finally admitted to them they were right and asked, what do I do? And I went home and literally got on my knees and asked for forgiveness of my sins and turned my life over to Christ. So, and they didn't do it perfectly, okay? In fact, and I don't have time to get into it now, but if anybody here hasn't heard my hot dog story, I'll tell you the hot dog story at some point in time about how imperfect these guys were, okay? And there's a story behind the hot dog thing, okay? Trust me, they weren't like, you know, R.C. Sproul, okay? But I got saved, and so that's the thing. If you want to share the gospel, you feel convicted to share the gospel, do it. Barry.
My grandmother got saved. Her best friend told her, Jesse, I love you, but you're lost.
Yeah.
That's all she said.
Yep. So anyway, I can't, you know, back to the story with Paul, I can't say that he repented then or he's repented since then, but he did hear the gospel very clearly. And he actually, the next day he drove me to the airport and he actually, and I didn't prompt this, he just said it totally out of the blue. He said, hey, I just really want to say thank you for sharing what you did yesterday with me. So I don't know what all that means, but it resonated with him to the point where he actually brought it up the next day. So, you know. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, it's not very loving for us to go around kissing people with half-baked gospel references and not tell them the whole truth. Okay? There's a point in time where we got to stop the train and say, look, here's the bottom line. Okay? Just like Barry said and like Zeola said. Here's the bottom line. Here's the truth. And that all starts, and we'll get into this in other weeks, by the way, but that all starts with the holiness of God. It doesn't start with you going to heaven. It doesn't start with you praying a prayer. It doesn't start with any of that. It starts with God's holiness, the fact that he can't even look at sin, okay? So, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, let me see if I have time for this. I think I do real quick. I just want to read this to you. You know, when I work out in the morning, which isn't as much as I used to, by the way, but when I work out in the morning, I listen to all kinds of music. I'm a former drummer, and I listen to everything from classical to rock and everything. And I like listening to hard rock, you know, when I'm exercising. It's very motivating. But there's this band, I don't know if you guys have heard of a band called Nickelback. They're from probably the 90s or the 2000s, something like that. And by the way, I'm not endorsing them. I'm not saying go buy Nickelback CDs. I'm not saying that. I mean, a lot of their music is actually pretty filthy. But they have a song called Saving Me. And the lyrics are really interesting. It says, heaven's gates won't open up for me. With these broken wings, I'm fallen, and all I see is you. These city walls ain't got no love for me. I'm on the ledge of the 18th story, and all I scream for you. Come, please, I'm calling. And all I need from you. Hurry, I'm fallen. Show me what it's like to be the last one standing, which I think of Christians, and teach me wrong from right, and I'll show you what I can be. And say it for me, say it to me, and I'll leave this life behind. Say it, if it's worth saving me, hurry, I'm fallen. There are people in that category that would listen to your gospel presentation because they have no they're so frustrated and so depressed because their life has no meaning, none. And so we don't want to be this spineless, milquetoast Christian who says to that person, well, you know, God loves you. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't tell me anything. Okay, so God loves me. I don't even know why I'm here. Why am I living, you know? There's people like that. So, you know, they would respect you. And there's people like this. You probably know what I'm talking about. There's people who would respect you a whole lot more if you told them the truth, the hard truth, rather than beating around the bush. Because when you tell them the hard truth and you make it an uncomfortable situation, they know you believe what you believe and you're convicted it's true. And they appreciate that you're actually stepping out of your comfort zone for them to tell them the truth. Do you follow me? There's people like that, okay? So if you're not doing it perfectly, still do it, okay? So here's the thing. Aside from that story, you know, that's an example of why we need to clarify the gospel. It's not why I wanted to do this series, it's just an example. But, you know, Steve and Paul are basically microcosms of this kind of like loosely held and loosely understood gospel that is just prevalent all over the place, okay? We have a real problem with that in our culture. We all know Steve's and we all know Paul's in our life who entrust their eternities to a general belief in God, okay? That is not the gospel. You know, demons believe, so that's not the gospel. We all know people like that. But, you know, another reason I wanted to do this series is because of us. We continue to struggle, okay? This isn't like, you know, hey, hold, the whole world's so lost and wretched and blah, blah, blah. We're just all that, and we're all God's gift, and, you know, we just need to get on the horse and ride it. No, we need to realize that we ourselves in this room and in this church, we struggle, okay? We struggle to really have a clear understanding of the gospel. We struggle to have a clear articulation of the gospel. And how do we say it to people? You know, I don't remember if I was an elder, but I don't think I was an elder when this situation with Steve happened, but it's like I've been an elder of the church. And I get in situations where it's confusing and I'm struggling and, you know, stuff like that. So this isn't like me going, hey, you. It's all of us, okay? We struggle. So that's another reason why I'm doing this. And then second of all, we struggle to not compromise the gospel. Or third, we struggle to not compromise the gospel. The first thing we do when things are uncomfortable is we compromise. We get in a situation, it's like, you know, we let's be real, okay? There's a different language in this room than there is when you're typically out with the people at work, okay? We talk here about the gospel, and yeah, and blah, blah, blah. And we get out there, it's like the tail goes between our legs. Maybe we even cut the tail off, and we're just like, yeah. yeah, I go to church, you know. So and so we struggle not to compromise the gospel. And when you're talking to somebody about the gospel, the Bible teaches us that basically we will be hated for his namesake. It's not enjoyable. It's not well received a lot of times to tell somebody, and I forget who said this, that God is a holy God and you're a sinner. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And there is a coming judgment. It's called the wrath of God, okay? It's hard to say that. It's hard to talk to people about that, but we need to. So that's another reason why we're doing this series is I want to help us and help me to compromise less and less and get better and better at articulating the biblical gospel, okay, for those around us. And by the way, I was thinking this morning, and I'm going to wrap up here, I was thinking this morning, man, it's like with what's going on in our country right now and what's going on in this world right now, I really think that this year might be a key year that we have a lot of opportunities to share the gospel with people because things are just falling apart. And people who put all their trust in the American flag, that's toast. And people who put all their trust in the economy, that might be toast. And, you know, just all of the typical American dream life seems to be coming to a close. And so a lot of people, I think, are going to be hurting. They're going to be physically hurting. They're going to be hurting economically. They're trying to figure their world out. They're like, is this the tribulation? You know, all that stuff. And so I think we're going to have a really good opportunity this year to talk with people about the gospel. So I think that's pretty pertinent. Next week, keep your hand out if you can, and I'll bring more next week if you don't, but keep your hand out. Next week, we're going to get into like sort of what does all this mean? What does it point to? What does it underscore? And we're going to start with that next week. Before I close, is there anything that anybody has that you're thinking about? You're like, you know what? It would be really helpful to me if sometime during this series, you touched on this or you helped clarify that or whatever, Kathy.
The fact that sometimes we don't want to act like we have all the answers either. You know, yeah. We approach somebody like, hey, we got this figured out, and we know we have the truth and you don't.
Right.
And I think for me, that's where I glitch. Whereas, like, who am I, you know, in front of you telling you that you're wrong, I'm right.
Right.
And I think that's where my confidence gets lost.
Okay.
When I appear to look like I've got all the answers.
Okay.
You are in the dark.
Yeah. That's a great perspective that we should touch on, and we will. I'll make a note of that. So how do we do that without being, you know, the know-it-all?
Sounding arrogant.
Right. Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Bert's on Zoom right now, and I'm sure he's experienced this a lot because Bert does apologetics. But, you know, I've watched apologetic videos, and man, I tell you, it's to your point, I see the Christian and I see the heretic. And the Christian is like, yeah, I understand. I'm thinking, what? It's like, bottom line this, you know? But they don't do that. You know, they show immense respect for the other person and be very gentle and kind and not being the know-it-all, you know? So that's a very good thing. I'll mention that. Anything else? Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. Let me pray and then we'll close. Lord, I guess all I ask is that you would guide us and direct us as we get into this series. What is more important, Lord, than sharing your gospel with the lost? So God, would you guide us and direct us so that by the time this series is done, everybody in this class, including me, would just be better equipped, more scriptural, more in tune with how you would have us present the gospel and what that gospel is that you would have us present. So God, I just ask right now that you would be pleased with this series and guide us and direct us for your glory, which is the only reason we do this. And in Christ's name, amen.